Chapter 5. Sustainment during multinational operations. This chapter offers a multinational sustainment overview. It then discusses the unity of effort among nations and agencies, responsibility for logistics and planning for logistics. This chapter then discusses acquisition and cross-servicing agreements, host nation support, and operational contract support. Lastly, it discusses the UN logistics system, movement support in multinational operations, and considerations for the commander. Multinational Sustainment Overview. A coordinated sustainment effort is needed for the multinational force to accomplish its mission. Multinational commanders must consider how to coordinate the sustainment effort. They must also consider the coordination for interagency funding and control processes and reimbursement procedures. Commanders should also reflect on the environmental and legal considerations, which are essential to multinational operations. Nations competing for host nation resources to provide logistics support to troop-contributing units hampers the multinational force's efforts to accomplish its mission. This competition for resources also causes harmful inflation to the host nation economy. The multinational commander strives to achieve unity of effort in the sustainment effort. Unity of effort among nations and agencies. Unity of effort is essential to multinational logistics operations. Unity of effort requires troop-contributing nations and civilian agencies in the AO to coordinate assets and operations. The multinational force commander is responsible for achieving unity of effort while executing multinational logistics. When possible, the logistics staff officer, G4 or S4 at the battalion or brigade levels, develops the multinational logistics concepts of support using unity of effort. Effective multinational logistics are flexible, responsive, and predictive, and they provide timely sustainment support throughout the entire operation for a multinational force. The plan for multinational logistics incorporates logistics requirements of all contributing forces. To increase unity of effort, effective commanders consider multinational logistics requirements and support issues early during planning. Commanders should comprehend multinational forces doctrine and have good relations with subordinate commanders and civilian leaders. All partners providing logistics support and operational elements should understand the concept of support based on national caveats. This understanding begins during the initial planning phase and continues through all phases of the operation. Commanders coordinate logistics based on standardization, multilateral, and bilateral agreements among troop-contributing nations, achievable standardization, and levels of interoperability. Under certain conditions, creating a single multinational logistics command provides economy of assets and system efficiency. Even if multinational participants, for national command reasons, maintain a national logistics structure, assigning a lead for logistics responsibility precludes duplication of effort. The G4 or S4 establishes a planning group with members from all participating nations to define the extent of interoperability that exists among multinational forces. Commanders identify the funding authority early to support multinational force logistics and develop procedures to prevent an adverse impact on operations. Multinational operations complicate logistics support and reduce the degree of flexibility inherent in a national logistics system. Although responsible for logistics support of its national forces, not all nations have deployable logistic capabilities. Such nations depend on other nations for all or part of their support. In these cases, the multinational force provides deployment and sustainment to military and civilian organizations. For deployment, close liaison with Theater Airlift C2 helps coordinate approval and facilitate airlift once approved. When support is required, close liaison ensures clear funding lines. Responsibility for logistics. Logistics is a national responsibility during multinational operations. Some nations do not want to relinquish authority of logistics assets. However, relations between NATO and the United States have evolved enough that logistics is a collective responsibility with NATO support agency oversight. The multinational commander needs the authority and control mechanisms for logistics to accomplish the mission. Each nation performing logistics functions separately would be inefficient and expensive. The multinational logistics staff handles mutual logistics support among multinational partners. The planning staff designs the plans to complement partner nations' capabilities and minimize weaknesses. After which, participating nations discuss which nations provide support functions for the multinational force and the procedures and methods those nations will use to provide that support. For additional information on multinational logistics, refer to JP40, AJP4, FM40, and applicable NATO STANAGs. The multinational force may exercise some control over national logistics units or act as the coordinating authority. The degree of control depends on existing agreements and arrangements negotiated with troop-contributing nations. The multinational force commander is responsible for delivery of logistics to the multinational force. This can be accomplished by establishing a logistics coordination center headed by the G4 or J4 to coordinate common logistics support in the AO. The Logistics Coordination Center identifies and determines responsibility for common logistics support capabilities from national authorities. Common logistics support capabilities provided to a multinational force do not negate national logistics support requirements. Early coordination between national authorities and multinational force commanders is essential in identifying common logistics support capabilities and responsibility for their provision. Three methods of executing cooperative logistics exist in a multinational force. Each method is executed as a standalone method or combined with the other methods. Regardless of the method used, national decisions and commitments are made early in the planning cycle. The three methods. The lead nation concept. For this method, one nation provides the framework for one or more logistics functions to support the multinational force. A role specialization nation. Under this method, one nation provides a particular class of supply or service for all or most of the multinational force. Multinational integrated logistics unit. For this method, two or more nations form an integrated logistics support structure to provide supply or support functions to the multinational force. Planning for logistics. It is essential to conduct logistics planning in parallel and collaboration with operational planning to ensure success in multinational operations. The multinational staff must have required logistics personnel in place early to facilitate planning and coordination with nations. The multinational logistics staff will develop the logistics plans to support the commander's operation and disseminate logistics requirements to individual nations. Logistics planners share partial planning data with partner nations to facilitate parallel planning. Staffs evaluate the level of standardization and interoperability among participating nations, determine and account for differences in logistics doctrine, capabilities, methods for computing requirements, stockage levels, organizations and communications and information systems, account for differences in language, values, religious and moral beliefs, economic infrastructure, nutritional standards, and social outlooks that affect logistics support to multinational forces. Non-governmental organizations may provide logistics support to the local population. However, in some circumstances, when military support is required, logistics planners may be required to address the requirements of the local population as a part of the logistics plan of the operation order. Logistics personnel prepare logistics in the theater of operations for a flexible operational support plan. Logistics personnel perform actions at all echelons to optimize the means, force structure, multinational and host nation resources, and strategic lift to support the multinational force commander's plan. Personnel identify resources available in the theater of operations for use by multinational forces and ensure access to those resources. Refer to FM40 for more information on sustainment preparation. These actions include identifying and preparing intermediate staging base and forward logistics bases or forward logistics elements, selecting and improving lines of communications, coordinating multinational logistics support, forecasting and building operational stock assets forward and afloat, identifying resources in Army pre-positioned stocks that may support mission partners. Sustainment planners collaborate with mission partners to develop appropriate solutions for key interoperable sustainment procedures to include reporting sustainment status information and developing a recognized sustainment picture for the multinational force, requesting and tracking sustainment support requests for specific classes of supply or other sustainment capabilities, such as transportation and mass vehicle recovery, executing other key sustainment interoperable tasks as required by the specific mission and commander's interoperability guidance, acquisition and cross-servicing agreements. An acquisition and cross-servicing agreement is an international agreement with countries or international organizations that allows U.S. forces to exchange most common types of support, including food, fuel, transportation, ammunition, and equipment. This agreement sets the terms and conditions under which the reimbursable acquisition or transfer of logistics support, supplies, and services can occur. Often, the agreement exists between United States forces and foreign governments or international organizations with which the United States has an agreement. An acquisition and cross-servicing agreement does not bind either partner financially or politically to provide support. Partners to an agreement support requests consistent with national laws and policies. An implementing arrangement is a supplementary arrangement for logistics support, supplies, and services. This supplement prescribes details, terms, and conditions to implement acquisition and cross-servicing agreements effectively. Refer to JP3-16 for more on acquisition and cross-servicing agreements. Host nation support. The multinational command analyzes the physical infrastructure in the host nation to determine what facilities and services are available to support the command and to determine how the command minimizes the sustainment footprint. The command understands the culture, business practices, laws, religious implications, and political and social structures of the host nation. Analysis includes location and the command's needs. AOs without a functioning government provide limited support. Multinational commanders integrate host nation support into the logistics structure of the command to ensure effective use. Commanders allocate this support based on command priorities. Nations coordinate and agree on methods of concluding host nation support at the end of an operation. The host nation has legal, financial, acquisition, medical, and administrative experts. These experts provide liaison support to sustainment staff to identify and procure host nation support. The support ensures that the command's requirements are met and prevents competition between partners. While local procurement efforts are beneficial to the host nation, these efforts sometimes undermine important command goals. An otherwise innocent procurement decision may have a significant political meaning in the host nation. Procurement actions may inflate local prices with negative impacts on local groups or civilian agencies. These effects can influence the attainment of the end state and the timing of withdrawal. The command obtains authorization from national authorities to negotiate for host nation support. Agreements with the host nation include the authority for the command to deal directly with the host nation for support. The command develops a list of current host nation agreements. The command legal advisor and Department of State or Ministry of Foreign Affairs political advisor negotiate host nation support agreements. Negotiable agreements are for local contracting, currency exchange rates, local higher wage scales, and customs regulations. The sustainment staff evaluates the effectiveness of current host nation contracts between the host nation and civilian agencies in the AO. Then, the staff determines the best lead agency, military or civilian, to negotiate and contract for host nation support. The national government handles agreements for transferring defense goods and services between nations. This is cumbersome and time-consuming. Support provided and received in multinational operations should comply with existing legal authorities. Under an acquisition and cross-servicing agreement, national authorities enter into agreements for acquiring or cross-servicing logistics support, supplies, and services on a reimbursable replacement in kind or exchange for equal value basis. The acquisition and cross-servicing agreement is a broad overall agreement, generally supplemented by an implementing arrangement. The J4 and the Department of State with the country involved write the agreement in the acquisition and cross-servicing agreement. The DOD and the country involved provide the approval and sign the agreement. Major commands in country negotiate the details with their counterparts and document the services, whether used or not, on a statement of requirements for exchange of support and services. The implementing arrangement contains details on orders for logistics support. The G4 or S4 documents receipt of agreed-upon services to prevent fraudulent payment for services not provided. Operational Contract Support Considerations. Operational Contract Support, OCS, is the process of planning for and obtaining supplies, services, and minor construction from commercial sources in support of combatant commander-directed operations. Commercial support can provide cost-effective surge capability and skills not organic to the unit, such as translators. Army Theater Sustainment Commands and Expeditionary Sustainment Commands play a key role in planning and executing OCS operational actions. As the senior command requiring activity for sustainment-related OCS, these units provide expertise to OCS planning activities. Theater Sustainment Commands and Expeditionary Sustainment Commands provide guidance on developing acquisition-ready requirement packages for theater-wide support requirements. There are second-order effects considerations when using commercial support, such as local population employment and economic stimulation. Integrating contractors and their equipment into military operations can prove challenging. Contractor challenges involve additional mission risk when compared to using organic support capabilities, such as potential loss of flexibility, additional force protection, and security-related requirements. Additionally, the commander has limited authority to keep contractors on the job when compared to military members, a fact often not understood by operational commanders and their staffs. Refer to JP4-10, ATP4-10, and ATP4-10.1 for additional information on OCS. Multinational forces rely on contracted support to perform many support functions and tasks. Factors that have led to this increased reliance include reductions in the size of military forces, especially in the combat support and sustainment areas, increases in tempo and missions undertaken by the military during large-scale combat operations, increased complexity and sophistication of weapon systems, a continued push to gain efficiencies and reduce cost through outsourcing or privatizing commercially adaptable functions. The Logistics Directorate of a multinational staff oversees OCS and contractors providing support to the multinational force in a designated operational area. Centralized coordination of contracting efforts is essential to manage limited resources. This coordination ensures the multinational force OCS priorities. Through centralized coordination of contracting efforts, a multinational force derives maximum benefits from volume procurements, optimize competition, avoid price escalation, and minimize opportunities for local black market operations. Early planning is critical for effective and efficient OCS in multinational operations. From an operational planning point of view, many considerations influence when commands use contract support in multinational operations. Common contract support considerations include the type of operation, operations with a higher risk of combat, such as initial entry operations and large-scale combat operations, are less suitable for outsourcing than lower-risk operations such as peacekeeping and stabilization operations. Phase of the operation. In the early stages of an operation, military units support military functions because of high risk, efficiency, operational effectiveness, and security. As an environment stabilizes and risk reduces, selected support functions transfer to a lead nation or role specialist nations to provide their contract support. Protection of contractors. Although contractors are mostly self-sufficient, they are not combatants. The force is generally responsible for the security of contractor employees accompanying the force. Multinational partners have a collective responsibility for planning and implementing contracted support. This responsibility encourages partner nations to identify support requirements that host nation contracted services, supplies, minor construction, and created contractual arrangements can meet. Through prior arrangements, these nations share providing as well as using contractor capabilities and resources to support the force. Planning and preparation for providing contracted support in multinational operations begins with a concept of support. Multinational partners use existing common logistics role specialist agreements, lead nation agreements, and other available service, joint, and allied contracting support agencies that provide contracting services on a reimbursable basis. Properly prepared and funded, contracted support enhances support to operations, releases military resources for higher priority tasks elsewhere, overcomes identified sustainment shortfalls, and provides endurance where needed with less impact on military assets than would be the case without it. Refer to ATP 4-10 and ATP 4-10.1 for additional information on contract support. As a matter of policy, United States contract support to multinational partners is limited to supplies, services, and minor construction planned and procured for support of United States forces. Additionally, standards of support for contracted services are the same standard established by the national support element providing the support. Finally, proper funding approval must adhere to national laws and policies of all parties before receiving or providing contract support. More specifically, United States policy and law require an approved acquisition and cross-servicing agreement, and when appropriate, an implementation agreement before United States forces provide contracted supplies, services, and minor construction to any multinational partner. Determining the appropriate contract support arrangements is a critical step in multinational contract support planning. Three generally acceptable contract support sharing arrangements exist. Lead nation, this is the most common form of multinational contract support arrangement in which one nation is designated the lead common contract support provider. Role specialist nation. Similar to lead nation arrangement, this form of multinational contract support has one or several nations arrange for contracted support for a single service such as fuel, medical evacuation, security, force protection, food, and maintenance. Multinational support capability. Nations normally use multinational contract support only for large-scale and long-term operations and base it on a formal alliance capability. This type of direct contract support arrangement is complex and takes significant time to plan and implement. During multinational operations, it is possible to stand up a theater-allied contracting office to contract for selected goods and services in limited supply in the operational area or are commonly needed by the entire force. To coordinate theater-allied contracting office activities, the multinational force contractors may publish a restricted items list that identifies critical, limited supplies and services in the operational area. Staffs coordinate this procurement with the Contracting Coordination Center. The theater-allied contracting office negotiates base ordering agreements for use by all participating nations. The multinational force's authority over the control, support, and integration of contractors is limited. Accordingly, the multinational force contract personnel coordinate contractor management policies and procedures between the major multinational partners, including movement control, minimum government-furnished support arrangements, legal jurisdiction, and visa requirements. Refer to JP40 for more information on logistics support of multinational operations. The Multinational Logistics Procurement Support Board helps with multinational force contracts to ensure these policies and procedures are incorporated into contributing nations' contracts and included in their national contract oversight. United Nations Logistics System. The UN logistics system requires member states to be self-sufficient at the unit level for 60 to 120 days. This allows the UN to organize a logistics structure, acquire real estate and facilities, and establish contracts and local memorandums of understanding and letters of assistance to provide support for the multinational force. A UN survey and assessment team evaluates operational requirements and develops planning data for sustainment. When participating in UN missions, the command sends a logistics representative with the UN survey team if possible. The multinational force coordinates with UN forces to improve the unity of effort and reduce potential conflicts. Force Logistics Support Center. In most cases, the UN will ask a member state or states to form a force logistics support group. The group incorporates logistics units from participating nations. A state accepting the group role and the chief logistics officer at the force headquarters establish local contracts to support the force. Even with a force logistics support group, member states are responsible for specific national elements of resupply, such as repair parts, clothing, food, and major end item replacements, unless nations establish an agreement to provide this support. The support is on a reimbursable basis under an arrangement that the UN and contributing nations government agree to before deployment. Contractor concept. The UN economizes logistics support by using contractors. The goal is to achieve the most economical logistics organization that meets the demands of the force and releases military manpower for redeployment. Force headquarters coordinate the process. UN contracting does not fall under the Logistics Division. It falls under the Purchasing and Transportation Services Division. UN procurement is bureaucratic and slow. It is decentralized, and each agency uses its own procedures. The Interagency Procurement Services Office of the UN Development Program creates a standard procurement system. The UN Chief Administrative Officer does not work for the Multinational Force Commander, but reports to the Special Representative of the Secretary General. The Civilian Logistics Infrastructure Officers, including the Budget Officer, report to the Chief Administrative Officer. Mission partners require the Chief Administrative Officer to solve logistics problems. Continuous liaison required between military and civilian counterparts allows synchronized effort. The UN normally coordinates logistics standards for some bulk supplies and services. Logistics support that extends beyond what the UN agreement outlines is not reimbursable. National standards such as consumption rates, space requirements, and safety levels typically exceed UN standards. Sophisticated multinational military equipment requires different standards of support from what the UN has agreed to provide or fund. The G4 or S4 understands UN standards concerning level and quality of support provided and funded. The multinational force stands prepared to bring its own support in the areas where the UN-provided support is deficient. Multinational reception, staging, onward movement, and integration. Movement is critical to multinational force operations. A multinational force headquarters or its supporting combatant command plans and executes all inter-theater movement. However, it remains a national responsibility to move forces into an operational area. The multinational force headquarters coordinates these deployments to support the commander's plans and controls intra-theater movement through reception, staging, onward movement, and integration, RSOI. Intermediate Staging Base. Nations participating in multinational operations consult with the multinational force commander to determine if the force needs an intermediate staging base. If established, the intermediate staging base will be outside the operational area. The commander balances numerous requirements, including greater lift requirements, against better efficiency. Multinational forces assemble and stage in an intermediate staging base, especially if combat is imminent. Units can better solve problems and correct efficiencies in a non-hostile environment. The intermediate staging base provides a secure area to assemble, train, equip, and build the multinational force into a cohesive team. The multinational force headquarters staff assembles first and works together, followed by the rest of the multinational force. The intermediate staging base provides sufficient billeting and training capacity to support the entire multinational force at once, access to airports and seaports for smooth reception of the force and its subsequent deployment is critical. If the multinational operation is a lesser regional contingency or a second major regional contingency, an intermediate staging base is not possible. Multinational reception. Reception is the first movement for sustainment in RSOI. At ports of debarkation, units work with host nation, contracted host nation support, and multi-service personnel to secure the port, discharge equipment, process equipment and personnel, and move units to marshalling areas. Host nation forces perform and help with many of these functions. The multinational force headquarters assigns a troop contributing nation to oversee and help the host nation perform these functions. If host nation support forces are not available, then national units perform those functions. The multinational task force commander plans for all units in the strategic flow. Some national forces have limited capability, so the commander specifies functions for these units based on planning staff recommendations. Commanders integrate the strategic and theater of operations movement requirements to prevent congestion at seaports and airports. Establishing intra-theater hubs maximizes cargo throughput and improves theater distribution. Nations provide movement data to the multinational force theater movement control system. This data provides information for the direct delivery or transloading of passengers and cargo. It deconflicts strategic movements with other theater of operations movements. Civilian agencies help by shipping relief supplies. These agencies often cause transportation choke points en route to and in the theater of operations. A G4 or S4 link with the Civil Military Operations Center can solve transportation choke points. The Civil Military Operations Center can work with civilian agencies to gain access to civilian ports of entry and infrastructure. The multinational force designates a director of mobility forces. The director is normally a senior officer familiar with the AO and has an extensive background in airlift operations. The director is the designated agent for all airlift issues in the AO and for other duties as directed. Multinational staging. Staging is that part of the RSOI operation that reassembles and reunites unit personnel with their equipment and schedules unit movement to the tactical assembly area, secures or uploads unit basic loads, and provides life support to personnel. During this phase, the following occurs. Units reassemble and unite with their equipment and are scheduled for movement toward the tactical assembly area. Materiel is segregated, prioritized, and prepared for transport. Units upload Class 5 supplies. Units provide deploying soldiers' life support until units are self-sustaining. Multinational onward movement. The onward movement phase of RSOI begins when units move to their destination. Multinational units accomplish such movement to ensure the forward and concurrent movement of troops and supplies. Units follow a carefully devised movement program that employs convoy, rail, and host nation contract assets, such as heavy equipment transporters and other trucks. Centralized control of transportation assets is required. Real estate management is a problem unless a multinational counterpart to the United States Joint Force Utilization Board, usually controlled by engineers, has authority to allocate terrain to all forces and agencies. When planning the movement of multinational forces, planners know the details of the organization, equipment, capabilities, and limitations of the forces. Planners know how to request intra-theater movement of multinational forces consistent with the multinational commander's operation plan. The movement complements sequencing of operations and time-phased force deployment. Movement planners consider all assets, joint, multinational, non-governmental, governmental, host nation and third country, and modes, air, land, or sea, of transport. Planners also consider infrastructure limitations to maximize efficiency. For example, planners consider tunnel heights and rail gauge when conducting movement in Europe. During execution of these movements, movement control personnel physically validate actual movements. Multinational integration. Integration is the last phase for sustainment in RSOI. During integration, combat-ready multinational units transfer to the operational commander and merge into the tactical plan. The transfer may require interaction and familiarization among multinational units. The transfer may also require that arriving multinational units meet certain standards before being completely integrated into the combat plan. Consequently, requirements for integration planning and coordination occur early in the force projection process. Units modify requirements according to mission variables until units achieve force closure. Considerations. Commanders and staffs participating in multinational operations consider and answer the questions in the following paragraphs with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. Support and capabilities. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following support and capabilities questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. What areas come under multinational control? What areas remain national issues? What logistics service and support are available? What impact will current sanctions have on the ability to receive host nation support, such as banking, payments, insurance, and workers' compensation? Does the unit have sufficient assets, such as maintenance, communications, and transportation, to conduct its movement and mission? Will it require support? What are the specific logistics capabilities of each nation of the multinational force? What mortuary affairs capabilities does the command have? What legal restrictions do national laws impose on logistics support? Do national legal authorities permit providing logistics support among multinational nations? Are mutual logistics support agreements in accordance with existing legal authorities? What is the system for property accountability? What special clothing and equipment requirements have a long lead time to obtain, such as non-military supplies or riot control gear? What are the procedures to provide support such as transportation, housing, and meals to diplomats and distinguished visitors? What coordination is there with a joint visitors bureau on this? What is the system for preventing fraud, waste, and abuse? How does the command assess logistics requests, requirements, and actions to ensure that they are valid with respect to the operation and authority given to the command? How does the command adequately secure logistics assets? Will the command establish a common retail store at some point during operations? How will the intelligence staff incorporate logistics and engineer assets into the information collection plan? What are the acquisition and cross-servicing agreement procedures to account for and reimburse nations for services and supplies exchanged between nations? What are the common supplies and services that one nation or a multinational organization might provide? Is there an agreement that authorizes forces to exchange mutual logistics support of goods and services and that accounts for the amounts received? Will there be, and if so, when and how, a transfer of authority of national logistics assets to the multinational force? What is the multinational force's authority to redistribute logistics assets and services under routine and emergency conditions? How will the command maintain national asset accountability from the national sustaining base to the frontline units? How will the command ensure compatibility and interoperability of communications and information systems, including automated data processing interfaces between the multinational and national support systems? How will the command prioritize, allocate, and use common infrastructure capabilities, ports, airfields, and fire and rescue roads, to support military intervention, occupation, and civil administration? Which entity is responsible to ensure ports have the necessary berthing capacity, depth, and materials handling equipment to accommodate certain sized and capacity ships? which entity is responsible to identify rail widths and gauging to accept International Organization for Standardization, or NATO, standards? What is the plan to establish necessary transfer points to overcome when differences occur? Which entity monitors road networks to understand route capabilities or limitations and general surface composition, width, height, weight, and hazardous material or impacts of weather and time or distance factors? What are the existing STANAGs that facilitate multinational logistics support? What is the logistics support structure? How will it identify capabilities and responsibilities of troop-contributing nations? Does the multinational force have an acquisition and cross-servicing agreement among multinational nations? Does the logistics structure have one officer in charge or a main point of contact for management of contract personnel? Have contractor procedures been established to allow total multinational participation in contracts led by national personnel and used by multinational personnel? Is there a need to establish a multinational logistics command or element? If so, has its staffing been determined? Has the relationship between the multinational and national logistics elements been clearly defined? Have lead nations been designated where appropriate? Have logistics reporting procedures been established throughout the force? Do all forces know and comply with the infrastructure repair plan? Is there duplication of effort in the support plan for the operation? If there is a need, what is the composition of the multinational logistics command or element? Have coordination centers been established for movements, medical support, contracting, infrastructure engineering, and logistics operations? What is the transitional plan for operational assumption of in-place contracts, equipment, facilities, and personnel belonging to another agency or alliance? Are multinational legal representatives available to provide counsel on national law, international law, and legal agreements? Have customs clearance procedures been established at ports of embarkation? Have standards been identified for logistics support? Is there a plan to perform, inspect, and ascertain compliance with these standards before deployment? What is the division of responsibilities among multinational, national, and host nation logistics support? How will each class of supply be handled? What are the multinational forces' capabilities to receive, store, and issue dry cargo, fuel, and water, including water production and purification capability? Does the multinational force have the means to communicate requirements to the Multinational Logistics Management Center? What materials handling equipment is available in the multinational force and host nation? Does the multinational force have a load of ammunition? What are ammunition procedures? What are the multinational force's special requirements, including tents, cots, reverse osmosis water purification units, laundry, latrines, and batteries? What are the military assistance program requirements for multinational forces? What is the best method for providing potable water? Have the engineers, preventive medicine personnel, and other staff officers been consulted about potable water? Using bottled water has an added advantage of enhancing troop morale. What is available in lessons learned databases for specific requirements, planning factors, and potential problem areas? Has liaison been established with other multinational nations and civilian agencies to obtain the most up-to-date logistics information on the AO? What are the personnel augmentation requirements and equipment needed for mission support? Have basing rights and diplomatic clearances critical to mobility been secured? What are intra-theater capabilities and resources of civilian agencies in the AO? What current agreements exist with other participating nations that provide for logistics support? Does this include agreements governing logistics support with representatives of other nations? What quality controls have been established for all services and supplies such as petroleum, oils and lubricants, water and food? How will those controls be monitored? What are the procedures to ensure in-transit visibility at all transportation nodes? Lack of in-transit visibility causes loss of confidence in the supply system and leads to unnecessary reordering, further clogging the supply lines. For UN operations, what standards are followed concerning support? What is the support plan for redeployment of forces and materiel? What logistics infrastructure, materiel, and capabilities remain in-country for use by subsequent forces or organizations? What are the possible environmental impacts on the host nation providing support? For additional information on environmental considerations, refer to ATP 3-34.5. Funding. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following funding questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. Has it been determined if or to what extent operational-related expenses are reimbursed from common funding or sources external to national funding by the participating nations? Has funding been identified to defense support of civil authorities or reimbursement expenditures? What are the limits on funding authority? What is the availability of common funding of contracting, multinational headquarters establishment, and general or common support? What are the accounting and reimbursement procedures for services and supplies exchanged between nations? Are replacement in-kind procedures included? Has the probable cost of multinational operations been determined? Is the probable cost acceptable? What are the funding requirements for renting facilities for defense support of civil authorities? Does the command have funding codes from all multinational nations? What methods and documentation are required to record all expenditures? How will the command capture costs associated with supporting the multinational force? Host nation support. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following host nation support questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. Has host nation support been evaluated to determine the logistics support available? Are law enforcement, sanitation, medical services, facilities, storage, and materiel included? What are the capabilities of existing infrastructure? Do they include water treatment plants, power stations, reservoirs, and bulk and retail fuel storage? Engineers or facility managers provide critical information on the availability of existing facilities. Have negotiations to secure support either been established or completed? What is the impact of obtaining host nation support on the host nation's economy? What are the possible environmental impacts on the host nation providing the support? What technical agreements, such as environmental cleanup, customs duties and taxes, and hazardous material and waste storage, transit, and disposal need be developed to augment host nation support agreements? For additional information, refer to Sections 2341 through 2350 of Title 10 of the United States Code, Acquisition and Cross-Servicing Agreements. Maintenance. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following maintenance questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. Do the multinational forces have maintenance support? Do the multinational forces have the means to order and receive repair parts? Do multinational forces have wreckers, stake and platform trailers, or heavy equipment transporters? Do the multinational forces have communications repair facilities? Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear defense. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following seaborne defense questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. What logistics resources exist to assist multinational forces to counter seaborne hazards to include toxic industrial materials such as at medical treatment facilities or industrial facilities? Are United States policies and guidelines acceptable to other nations if none exists? Is the necessary seaborne protection, detection, and reconnaissance equipment available to troops to counter the threat and continue their mission in a seaborne environment? Are adequate unit and theater stocks of individual protective equipment available? What plans exist to protect and train military dependents, contractors, and locally hired civilians against threats of weapons of mass destruction? Transportation. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following transportation questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. What is the multinational transportation command structure? What are the available multinational air and sea lines of communications? What are assigned airlift and sea lift capabilities and allocations? Are the requirements to support both military and civilian agencies included? What are the requirements for and capabilities, limitations, and availability of airfields, seaports, and inland transportation systems in the departure, intermediate staging, and objective areas? What resources are required for new construction or necessary improvements to existing facilities? What is the multinational RSOI process? What is the ability of the host nation to receive personnel and equipment at ports and airfields? What are the access rights in the AO? The command coordinates diplomatic efforts to arrange for support, country, and diplomatic clearances, overflight rights, basing for forces in transit from one locality to another. What is the capability of transportation systems to move forces once they arrive in the theater of operations? Do multinational forces have tactical rotary and fixed-wing assets for intra-theater supply? Who supplies transportation supply throughput from the Multinational Logistics Center for Multinational Forces? Do multinational forces have transportation assets for moving troops? How will the command control movement into and out of airfields and seaports? How will transportation facilities be shared with civilian agencies and contractors? Is rail a feasible transportation method? If so, can rail cars transport tactical equipment, tanks? Are the railhead facilities usable? Are there sufficient on- and offload capabilities? What are the security requirements for rail transport by the multinational force or host nation? Will non-tactical vehicles be needed for the operations? If so, how many and what types, such as vans, sedans, and buses? Will the host nation or multinational force provide or contract non-tactical vehicles? Will there be other transportation requirements based on mission location, weather, or lack of transportation infrastructure? Manning and equipping. Commanders and staffs consider and answer the following manning and equipping questions with respect to the logistics portion of the operation. Have deploying units provided planning numbers of deploying forces? Have deploying units provided planning numbers of deploying equipment, types of containers, and number of containers? Human resources support. The G1 or J1 is the principal staff assistant to the commander on human resources support. This individual provides guidance, oversight, and coordination of manpower and personnel issues. The G1 or J1 coordinates finance support and manages the religious ministry and legal personnel support. The G1 is responsible for human resources support for national contingents. Commanders and staff consider and answer the following questions with respect to the human resources portion of the operation. How are multinational forces accounting for losses and conducting replacement operations? What are the processes for ensuring postal operations continue during operations? How is personnel accountability being conducted at theater ports of debarkation? How are government civilians and contractors being tracked and accounted for?